We'd like to thank each and every brother who has led us in the services this morning. Again, I'm Brother Tommy Brooks, the minister of the Church of Christ in Highland Heights, and we're thankful to have you on the call, especially if you're not a member of the Church of Christ. We are very honored and distinguished guests of the audience, and we're thankful to have you participating in our services via conference call, where we sing without the help of mechanical instruments and music. We will pray. We take the Lord's Supper, and we give, and we hear the preached word. And so those are the things that we do in worship service when we're assembling together. And due to COVID-19, we're now assembling in our homes, but we're participating with our ears on this call. We're thankful that you're on the call. We believe in the Church of Christ that the Bible is right, and every word of the Bible is right. We believe it's a roadmap to heaven, that God has given us his instructions on what we must do to save our souls. All scripture is given by the inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So we got scripture to give us guidance. This morning we'll be studying from the book of Revelation, continuing our study of the book of Revelations. In Revelation chapter number 3, we pick up this morning, chapter 3, and the verse is number 7. Chapter 3, Revelation chapter 3, and verse number 7. And the Bible says that to the angel of the church in Philadelphia, write these things. Said he that is holy, he that is true. These things said he that is holy, he that is true. He that had the key of David, he that had opened and no man shut it, and shut it and no man opened. My sermon title this morning, these things said he that is holy, he that is true. This study of Revelations is a revelation from Jesus Christ, penned by the Apostle John, guided by the Holy Spirit. This is a continuation of Jesus' testimony to various congregations, such as this one in Philadelphia. He wrote to Ephesus, the congregation there in Ephesus, Smyrna, congregation in the city of Pergamos, Thyatira, Sardis, now Philadelphia. These are congregations of churches of Christ. There were no modern-day denominational churches in existence at the time Jesus was writing to these congregations. There was but one church in the Bible. That church is referred to as the Church of Christ, Romans 16 and the verses number 16, where Paul says, salute one another with a holy kiss. The churches of Christ salute you. So this is the Church of Christ located in the city of Philadelphia. Not the Philadelphia we know in the U.S., but the one in Asia Minor, 28 miles southwest of the city of Sardis. Again, this is not a modern-day denomination. None of these churches were denominations. They did not exist at the time. You would have to go to your encyclopedia, Wikipedia, to get the history of the modern-day denominational churches. They're not in there. So those are facts that you got to know when you start studying the Bible. We stick with the Bible as the final authority for what one must do to be saved and what God has spoken to be truth. This is one of several congregations, the Churches of Christ, that they were wearing the same name and they were speaking the same thing. Now, Jesus says in this verse, these things said he that is holy, he that is true, and he that had the key of David. He that is holy is Jesus the Christ. He's identified himself as holy. He's identified himself as truth as he talked to his apostles. In John chapter 14, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus is truth, grace and truth. That's him. And then he said, I'm the one that had the key of David. Jesus is the one. The language there, when he says the King of David, tells us about authority or denotes authority or control. A woman has a key to a house. He or she has unlimited access to that place. And the meaning here is that David is represented as the King of Israel, residing in a palace. So he had the key to that palace. And the one with the key had the authority. The prophet Isaiah, in Isaiah 22, in verse 22, spake and said, "And the key of the house of David will I lay upon his shoulder, and he shall open, and none shall shut, and he shall shut, and none shall open." Isaiah prophesied about this, and Jesus told Peter when he was with Peter, and John in Matthew chapter 16 and verse 18 and 19, he said unto thee, "Thou art Peter. Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I will give," he talks to Peter, he said, "I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Peter would then, after Jesus' resurrection, use the keys to the kingdom. He would use the keys on the day of Pentecost and tie David to those keys. Acts chapter 2, let's go over there. Let's show the tie. In Acts chapter 2, and the verse is number 29, starting there. Acts chapter 2 and verse 29. Peter speaks to a listening audience that had crucified Jesus. Then in brethren, he says, "Let me speak freely unto you of the patriarch David. He is both dead and buried, and his subjects is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God has sworn with an oath to him that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne. He, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell. Neither his flesh did see corruption. And this Jesus had God raised up, whereof we are witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, having received the Father, the promise of the Holy Ghost, he has shed forth this which you now see and hear. But David is not ascended into heaven, here it is. He himself said, the Lord shall, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand until I make thy foes thy footstool. Verse 36. He said, Therefore, the gates of hell did not prevail. Jesus told Peter, "Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." And Peter says that the gates of hell did not stop Jesus from being resurrected from the grave. He says, "Seeing then before," verse 31, "think of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell. It did not mean in the grave." Now he's after telling them, he said, "Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God had made that same Jesus, whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ." Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" And Peter said unto them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children, to all that are far, even as many of the Lord our God shall call." Many other words did he testify, exhort, saying, "Save yourselves from this untoward generation." Verse 41, then they gladly received the word. His word were baptized And the same day, they were added unto them 3,000 souls. It was 12 apostles. And then the beginning of the kingdom, the church, has started. Jesus has started the church. He died for the church. And now Peter's using the key. The key is the gospel. The gospel. He used the key of the story of the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection. Mark 16:15-16. Jesus got up from the grave and gave a command to his apostles. And all of us today go into the world, all the world, and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. To preach the gospel, one must preach the death, burial, and resurrection story of Jesus the Christ. That's what Peter just preached here. And what happened? 3,000 people walked into the open door of the kingdom. In Acts chapter 10, Peter will use the keys again to allow the Gentiles to walk into the open door of the kingdom, which is the church, 3,000 people added to the church of Christ. In Acts chapter 10, Peter used these keys and Cornelius' household were the first Gentiles to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. Jesus had opened a door that no man can shut. A door that no man can shut is the door of the church of Christ. No man can shut that door. Who said that? He that is true, he that is holy, he that has the key is Jesus the Christ in verse 8, back in Revelation. He said, I know that works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. But I have little strength, has kept my word, and has not denied my name. As with every congregation of the churches of Christ, Jesus know our works. This congregation kept the door open. Simply put, they kept his word and kept preaching the gospel without denying his name. Brothers and sisters, we sometimes may have little strength. Maybe this was a small congregation, but we want to be known as a congregation of the Church of Christ. We will keep the door open. We'll keep preaching the gospel to the lost and dying world. I'll keep the word, proclaiming it in any way we can. We'll go through door holes, use phones, cars, microphones. We do whatever we got to do to keep preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we will never deny his name. But hold it up. Hold his name up as Savior of the world. Why? Jesus the Christ is King of kings and Lord of lords. We have an open door to the world. We're going to use this door. Keep preaching the gospel. And we're using it this morning. Hundreds are on this call listening to the gospel. Whatever way we can get it out, we're going to get the gospel out to those who need to hear it. In verse 9 of Revelation, Jesus said, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come, worship before thy feet, to know I have loved thee. We don't have to worry about people who don't believe in Christ. We leave that to God. Vengeance belongs to him. One day, the unbeliever, those who don't believe that Jesus is Christ, will have to give an account. Every knee will bow, and every mouth will confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Jesus said, I know of them of the synagogue of Satan. He say they are Jews. They're not, but do lie. He don't want them dealing with those. He said, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet and to know that I have loved thee. Synagogue of Satan. Many must remember, we must remember that the devil is real. There is a synagogue, place of worship. Satan has his seat, Jesus said. He will not leave us alone. You understand? But Jesus said, I can handle him. I can deal with him. We will have those among us just like they did then, who didn't believe in the resurrected Savior. We have those even today who don't believe in Jesus as the King of Kings, don't believe in the one church. They don't even believe the Bible, in my opinion. Some people say they believe in Jesus. They can't believe in the one church. But it all came from the same book. Your problem is belief. Your problem is not believing the book. The Bible is right. And every word of the Bible is right. And we must remember that if the Bible said it, we believe it, and that settles it. Now, like the psalmist says, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Back to verse 10. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, start to Philadelphia, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world. Try him to dwell upon the earth. This congregation, Jesus identified as one that kept the word of my patience, he says. The word of my patience. They kept the word. The word commanded. Because of their patience and faithfulness to the word, Jesus told them, I'm going to give you something in return. Also will keep thee. The hour of temptation shall come upon all the world and try them to dwell upon the earth. We have to wait on the Lord. We have to keep his word and follow him. And when we keep his word and patiently wait on the Lord, then there's a blessing that will come. And we're living in a time now where a lot of people dealing with a lot of different things. A lot of positive things are coming from the COVID-19. Many, many members on this call, they probably wouldn't have came to the church building, but you're on the call. It's a blessing. Because you know what? If you restore to the Lord now, you'll be coming to the building when we're back there. You'll be at the building. You'll be restored. Angels in heaven will be rejoicing. You'll learn patience to wait on the Lord to get us through this. This is not something brought on to us by some government. But anything that happens in the world is allowed by the permissive will of God. Hurricanes come. Tornadoes come. Diseases come. God is still in control. We have to wait on him. The difficulty come in our lives. When trials and tribulations come, we still got to wait on the Lord. And they that wait upon the Lord, mount up wings as eagles. We have to be patient. We have to wait on the Lord to get us through our times. He said, now, when you do that, I'm going to do something for you. I will keep thee from the hour of temptation. Yeah, the hour of temptation. No one knows exactly what temptation they will face and when. But what we do know is that Jesus just promised to see us through as he's doing for them. See them through because of the faithfulness, of their faithfulness to his word. It is important, y'all, that we know that Jesus is there for us to see us through. Yes, we'll go through temptations. We'll go through trials. We have tribulations. That's coming. It's going to be an hour for that. It is important for us to know that the Lord is saying to this congregation, even though that hour of temptation has come, it's not going to just come to you, but it's going to come up on all the world. It's going to try us. I believe we're being tried right now. being tried to believe that certain things are going on today with this COVID-19 is an hour of temptation for some people. Hour of trial. Test it. Are you going to be faithful to me? Are you going to continue to seek me? Will you seek me? Will you hold to the truth? God is still on the throne. Jesus is still on the right hand of God. He's still active in this world. And God is in control of everything that's going on. This afternoon, Brother Stroud, I'm going to be bringing a message on all the benefits coming from the COVID-19. I was just thinking about how just so many people was even lately coming on TV talking about how the world is going to come to an end in 12 years because of emissions in there. You realize how many cars have been shut down, how many airplanes are on the ground. God controls the emissions in the air. He's bigger than the airplanes. He shut them all down, shut the cars down. There's less emissions in the air than there's ever been since the time we're living, the time before these cars and things were putting emissions in the air. But think about what God is doing now. He's shutting it down. I tell some of my friends, this is the Green New Deal. Jesus, God knows how to shut things down for a while, clean up the air, positive things coming. More about that this afternoon. Many, many members of the church, many people outside of the Lord don't know the Lord, are seeking the Lord. Many will come back to the Lord. A lot of great things are happening. What we got to do? We got to wait. We got to be patient. Don't be tempted to believe some, even in our brotherhood, that are saying things that we should not be listening to. We must be careful, be sober, be vigilant. We have to be sober. Think rationally. Think with sober mind. Use judgment, wisdom. All this comes from above. That's what we should use in a time like this. Do the things we should do. Do the things God tells us to do. Jesus says, for those who don't, I will take care of that. He said, for those who have worked, kept the word of my patience, I'm going to keep you from that hour of temptation, which will come upon all the world and try them to dwell upon the earth. Yeah. It's important for us to know that Jesus has promised this congregation, and his promise is to us as well. In verse 11, he says this, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Brothers and sisters, the one who is true, the one who is holy, and the one who has the key, Jesus encouraged this congregation to hold fast. I mean, a fast means like a nail. The nail is referred to as a fastener. Nail it down. Hold fast. Don't give up. Fight for your crown. This is to us as Christians. Jesus, I'm coming back. I come quick. Hold that fast with thy hands. What do we have? We have what we call the Bible. It's the Word of God. What we have is the doctrine of Christ, the New Testament. We are Christians because we obeyed God. We obeyed from the heart a form of doctrine. The doctrine is known as the doctrine or the teachings of Christ. Now, listen carefully. In 2 John verse 9, the Bible says, whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ hath both the Father and the Son. The doctrine is the teachings of Christ that you can find in the New Testament. That's why we were singing today. without the help of mechanical instruments, music, the whole church, every individual is a member of the church, and every individual must sing for his or herself. If you were in our assembly, and we all been singing individually, there would have been no choir. Why? We're following the teachings of the New Testament. We are preaching from the Word of God. We don't have no man-made creeds on the wall, no doctrine, no catechism, no Baptist manual, no Methodist discipline, no other book other than the Bible. Why? We have the Word of God. It is true. That's why we take communion. We took communion this morning because the Bible says in Acts 20, verse 7, upon the first day of the week, disciples came together to break bread. In the New Testament, the Christians broke bread on the first day of the week. The first day of the week is the day of resurrection. Everything after Jesus resurrected on the first day of the week, the worship services where they assembled was always on that memorial day, that day of the week. Sunday, we call it the first day. We also took collection on the first day of the week based on 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 1 and 2. The example, they took collection on the first day of the week. So we're following the example of the New Testament, which is the doctrine of Christ. So what we will do is we will hold fast to what we have. What we have comes from him that is true, he's holy, and he got the key to the kingdom, which is the church of Christ. Brothers and sisters in Christ, we have to remember, those of us who are members of Church Christ, to hold fast. Don't give up. Let no man take our crown. Our crown comes from sticking to the straight and narrow way. Listen carefully. Jesus has stated in Matthew 7:13, any end of the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And many, the word many, will go that way. But straight is the gate and narrow is the way, verse 14. And few there be that find it. We in the Church of Christ got the truth. We got it. Only church can read about the Bible. Strict to the New Testament pattern of worship. Strict to the teachings of Christ. And no man gonna get our crown. We don't let no man come in and change what Jesus said do. There will be no sinner's prayer preached in the churches of Christ. That came from me. There will be no beatboxing and bass miking and praise dancing in the Church of Christ assembly. That didn't come from God. That came from me. Jesus said in Matthew 15:8, this people draw nigh unto me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain they worship me. He says it's vain worship. Why is that, Jesus? Teaching for doctrines, the commandments of me. I appeal to all of us in the churches of Christ. Even if you want to call at other congregations, I'm appealing to the churches of Christ are to uphold the truth and wave the blood stained banner that purchased the church, the blood stained banner that waves the doctrine of the teachings of our Lord and Savior, the one that's true, holy, and the one that has the key. We shall not tilt, neither to the left nor the right, according to what man says. We will stand on the truth. In Christ the solid rock we stand. All other ground is sinking sand. Hold on, there's a crown coming. You know, Paul, upon his last days, the time of my departure is at hand. All these go not. I fought a good fight. I kept the faith. I finished my course. There's a crown waiting on you. And he wore his crown. He said, but not for me only. All of you, beloved, is appearing. We want our crown. We want our Stephanos, our victor's crown. How are we going to do that? What ensures that we get our crown? Do what Jesus said do. The way Jesus said do it. If Jesus said, and he did say, in Matthew 28:18, go teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. We do that. Jesus said in Mark 16:15-16, go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth is baptized shall be saved. We believe that. Jesus, when he was instituting the Lord's Supper, he said, this you do in remembrance of me. Paul reminded the Corinth congregation in Corinth, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, that this was a memorial commanded by the Lord. Are you in the church that don't take the Lord's Supper every Sunday? Do you not know that you're not following the teachings of Christ? So he said, well, Brother Brooks, it says as oft. Well, then it does say how often they did it. How often did the Christians in the Bible do it? In Acts 20, verse 7, we find their example that the disciples upon the first day of the week did it. They broke bread. We follow that example. There's an example when they took a collection, 1 Corinthians 16:1-2. So there are the examples are there. You have to ask how often they'll read it. Those who say how it says as off don't want to do that. They don't want to take the Lord's Supper every Sunday. But I'm going to tell you this. You think about this one. This is a common sense thought. It's not a church in the world that won't take your money every Sunday. What example are they following? Well, the Christian example, right? They took collection every Sunday. Everybody get that part right. But that doesn't surprise me because the love of money is the root of all evil. If man can get us taking, if he can get us thinking that taking money is more important than taking the Lord's Supper, he got us. But really the problem is we left the doctrine of Christ. And Jesus is telling them, hold fast to what you have. Hold fast to what you have. No man take your crown. Let's go back to the scripture. In verse 12, he said, he that overcometh, well, I make a pillar in the temple of my God. He shall go no more out. I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which coming down out of heaven from God, I write upon him my new name. Here's the promise to the overcomers. Promise to the overcomers, those who want their crown, those who hold fast, those who prevail, those who win, those who are patient, those who stay with the doctrine or the teachings of Christ. Jesus, here's what I'm going to do for you. I'm going to make a pillar in the temple of my God, and you shall no more go no more out. A pillar in a building is a fixed object, a fixed place in the temple of God. Never go out. It is eternal. Once we get in to heaven, we're there. And when we get there, your pillar in the temple of God, I will write upon him the name of my God. This is not teaching one save always. This is talking about when we get to heaven. This is to them to overcome, them to make it. The overcomer will wear God's name, the name of the city of my God, he says, which is the New Jerusalem, which coming down out of heaven from my God. The overcomer will be named as the city, the New Jerusalem. In Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 22 and 23, the Hebrew writer writes, but you have come unto Mount Zion and the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem and to the numerous company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, notice that, which are written in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect. Somebody say, see, right there, it don't say church of Christ. It said church of the firstborn. Let's read Colossians chapter 1 and verse 12. The city, the heavenly Jerusalem, is the church, the heavenly Jerusalem, is the church of Christ, giving thanks, Colossians 1, 12, unto the Father, which has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Notice this, who has delivered us from the power of darkness, has translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. Remember earlier, Peter was given the keys to the kingdom. The kingdom is the kingdom of Christ. The kingdom is the kingdom of his dear son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God. Now here he is, the firstborn of every creature. The Hebrew writer said, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn. Paul said, the firstborn is Christ. The Hebrew writer said, to the general assembly and the church of the firstborn, which means it's the church of Christ. Christ is the firstborn. By him were all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible, invisible, whether they be thrones, dominions, principalities, powers, all things were created by him. John 1:1 said, in the beginning was God, and the Word was with God. That's what Jesus we're talking about here. He is before all things. Before, by him, all things consist. Here it is. He is the head of the body, the church. So Christ is the head of the body, and the body is the church, which is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead. There it is again. And in all things he might have the preeminence. For he it pleased the Father, and in him, speaking of Christ, speaking of the firstborn, should all fullness dwell, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto him, by him, unto himself, by him, I say, whether they be things in the earth or things in heaven. So what am I proving? I'm proving that the church of the firstborn is that heavenly Jerusalem, that new Jerusalem. That new Jerusalem is a city. That city is the church of Christ, the church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven. Revelation chapter 21, verse 1. John saw it. He saw it. He said, I saw a new heaven and a new earth. So the first heaven, the first earth, passed away. And there was no more sea. I, John, saw, here it is, the holy city, the new Jerusalem. Notice where it's coming from. Coming down from God, out of heaven, prepared as a bride, adorned for her husband. Prepared as a bride, adorned for her husband. A bride, the holy city, the new Jerusalem, is a bride. A wife, born for a husband. John said, I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with me. He will dwell with them. They shall be his people. And God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying. Neither shall be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Verse 5. He that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write for these words are true and faithful. He said unto me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto thee him that is athirst for the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things. I will be his God. He shall be my son. But the fearful, the unbelieving, the abominable, the murderers, the whoremongers, the sorcerers, the idolaters, and all liars have their part in the lake. It's burned with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Then in verse 9, he said, there came unto me, see, one of the seven angels, which had seven vials, full of the seven last plagues. And John said, the angel talked with me. What did he say, John? Come here. I want to show you the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away. Verse 10, in the spirit of great high mountain, and showed me that great city, that holy Jerusalem. Here she comes, descending out of heaven from God. Who is this? That new Jerusalem, that holy city. It's the bride, the wife of Christ. It's the church of Christ. Ephesians 5:22. Paul wrote it like this. I submit yourselves to your own husband as unto the Lord. For a husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. And he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, let their wives be to their own husbands and everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself in, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, and he might present it to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy without blemish. So all men love their wives as their own body. He that loveth his wife, loveth himself. For no man ever hated his own flesh, nourished and cherished it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. And for this cause shall man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, two shall be one flesh. There it is in verse number 32. So what are you talking about, Paul? Are you talking about the husband and wife? Paul said, here's what I'm talking about. Mystery. This is a great mystery. But when I spoke about man and wife, I'm speaking about Christ as the husband of his wife. This is a great mystery. But I speak concerning Christ and the church. The bride is the church of Christ. A bride for life, the church of Christ. The husband is Christ. And he said, the husband loved his wife, and he gave his life. He said, you husband, love your wife, even as Christ also loved the church. What did he do? He gave his life for his church. So what are we proving this morning? When Jesus said, the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which coming down out of heaven from God, the overcomer will be named as the city, the New Jerusalem, the church of Christ. He said, I will write upon him a new name. Jesus will give us all a new name. I want my name. Not sure what it's going to be, but I like that. I like the idea. He said that again in Revelation 2:17. No man know your new name in heaven. I want my new name. I want to be that pillar. I don't want to know that my salvation is secure, and I'm gonna do what the Bible says do. The blood of the cross purchased the kingdom. The kingdom is the church. Who's the king? Jesus Christ, the one that's true, one that's holy, and the one's got the key. He had the key, and he didn't judge. Concludes here, Jesus says, in verse 13, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. As a congregation, we are to use our strength to remain faithful and seize every opportunity to point out to the world the open door of the church. Only by sharing the gospel, only by holding to the doctrine of the teaching of Christ, no one can come into the church by joining the church. You must obey God. Though he was a son, Hebrews 5:8, yet he learned obedience. By the things which he suffered, being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation, all that obey him. What shall we do to obey him? Well, number one, you got to believe that God sent it without ever seeing it with your eyes. That God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. And his son came to this world, not to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And you gotta believe it. You gotta believe that he came through the Virgin Mary. He walked among men, he healed the blind, he healed the sick, he fed the hungry, he did wonderful works. In the end of his life, they killed him. You have to believe it without ever seeing it, that he was in the Garden of Gethsemane. And then he said, Father, and then he asked God, let this cup pass 3 times. You got to believe that. They left that garden, they arrested him. They went on 6 trials at nighttime. You got to believe that he stood before Pilate. You got to believe that Pilate found no fault with him. You got to believe that the people said, crucify him, crucify him. You have to believe that they took him and scourged him with a whip. Scourging in the Bible means they whipped him with a whip. And that whip left stripes all over his body. From the stripe came the blood that would purchase the church. Acts 20:28. That blood is what washed away our sins, Revelation 1:5. It was the blood from the stripes. That's why Isaiah 53 said, by his stripes are we healed. The blood heals sin sick people. It wasn't a physical healing. It was sickness from sin. You got to believe that. That he had to carry his cross wearing a crown of thorns up a hill called Calvary. A Golgotha. The place of the skull. You have to believe that. That he hung with nails in his hands and his feet for 6 hours on that cross. You have to believe with all of your heart that the word of God is true. And that faith comes by hearing. Hearing by the word of God. We walk by faith, not by sight. You've never seen this. It's in the book. That's why we believe all of it. Everything that's in the Bible. This morning you're hearing it. The only thing you got to have is ears. You have to have eyes to get to heaven. But you got to have ears. Ears to hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Hear the gospel. How they hung him on that cross. And on the cross, he would look out over his accusers, the murderers, and he said, Father, forgive him. From the cross, he would say, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. My God, why have you forsaken me? Sin separated him. He became sin for us. Separated him from God. He dies on the cross. John 18:34, the soldiers pierced him in the side. I came, the two things that was washed our sins away, blood and water. Blood and water is what it's going to take. Blood and water came from the Savior's side. He took him down, buried him in the tomb. Early on a Sunday morning, he resurrected with power and gave the command to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He said, he that believeth is baptized shall be saved. He said, brother, if I believe in Jesus, why I got to be baptized? Because he commanded it. If you believe in him, then you believe in his command. And Peter said, 1 Peter 3:21, baptism does also now save us. Acts 22:16, Ananias told Saul, arise, why tirest thou? Be baptized. Wash away your sins. Call it on the name of the Lord. The Bible. It's right. One must be baptized. And the one who killed Jesus on the day of Pentecost and they killed him. They asked Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Men and brother, what shall we do?" Peter said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of the remission of sin." That's what he said. Because though Peter knew the keys to the kingdom was given by Jesus, and he told him, "I'm going to give you these keys. The gospel must be preached. People must hear it. People must believe it. Man who want to be saved must hear the gospel," Acts 15:7. "Believe it," Acts 15:7. "Repent of your sins. Confess Jesus to be the Son of God. Then be baptized as commanded for the remission of sins." Let me just say this while I'm on baptism. The Bible says in Ephesians 4:4, there is one body. That body is the church. I proved that this morning. There's one church. Ephesians 4:4 says there's one spirit, even your calling, one hope of your calling. There's one hope. There's one Lord, that's Jesus. There's one faith, that's the book called the Bible. There's one baptism. Somebody said, "Well, Brother Brooks, I've been baptized 10 times. There's only one right baptism. One right one. Which one is right? The one that's according to what the Spirit says. 1 Corinthians 12:12. "But by one Spirit, we're all baptized into one church." The one Spirit gave us the word. If you were baptized under some other teaching, other than the teaching of Christ, other than the New Testament teaching, that baptism was no good, my friend. You can have 10 wrong baptisms, but there's only one that'll save you. That's the one according to the doctrine of the teachings of Christ. And when you get baptized, believe in there's water, blood in the water, and that the Lord is going to add you to the one church, the church of Christ. Then your name will be in heaven. You have that pillar. You won't lose your salvation. You'll be in the new Jerusalem, the church of the firstborn, the church of Christ. Acts 2:47 says, "Praising God and having faith with all the people, the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved." He added to the church. Which church? You've heard me repeat it. The church of Christ. Why do you say that? Well, every wife wears a husband's name. Yes. We know that, don't we? Christ is the husband. The church is his wife. My wife is living. She's Sister Brooks. I had but one wife. And all the people in the audience, I can say, "Sister Brooks, stand up." I had but one wife. Stand up. And we identified her because she wore my name. One day, Jesus is going to come back. He's going to ask for his wife. My name. And she's going to stand up. And it'll be the Church of Christ. If you're on the call today, you're not a member of the Church of Christ. Say, "Brother Brooks, I didn't know that." I didn't either. There was a time when I didn't know these basic truths. You know, you may be saying, "You know what, I thank God for COVID-19. Because I had to sit down and listen to a man who taught me the truth. 37 years ago, I heard this truth. And I'm still preaching it. You want to know why? No man can shut the door. No man can stop it. No man can stop God. He can't stop the church. Do you have to decide to do it? Do you believe it? You say, "Well, I'm not a member of the Church of Christ, but I'm a Christian." Well, then you can't use this book to say that. You got to decide what you're going to die with. Do I believe in the Bible? Or do I believe in what you want to believe? Those of us in the Church of Christ, we believe that the Bible is right. We're going to continue to do it the way God said to do it. The door is open. The gospel will be preached. And those who answer the gospel call, the Lord will add their name to the Lamb's book of life. Because the Lamb is coming back to get his wife, New Jerusalem. And he wants your name in there. If you're on the call today, you're not a Christian. Five steps to become a member of the Church of Christ, to become a Christian, is number one, hear the gospel. Hear and believe, Acts 15:7. Repent of your sin, Luke 13:3-5. Jesus said, I tell your neighbor, except you repent, you will perish. Next, you have to confess with your mouth what your heart's been made to believe. That is, that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Example in Acts 8 and verse 37, a man wanted to be saved. Coming from a place he thought he was worshiping in truth. God sent Philip to him. Philip preached unto him Jesus. They came up on certain water. They said, see, here's water. What hinders you to baptize him? Which means Philip told him he had to be baptized. Because that's what Jesus commanded. In the desert, there was water. They got down off the chariot. Philip said, if you believe. He said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. After that, they got down off the chariot. He stopped the chariot. And they both went down into the water, both Philip and the eunuch. And he baptized him. And he went on the way rejoicing. If you haven't been baptized, don't rejoice. If you weren't baptized according to the truth, no reason to rejoice. Get back with the person who put you on the call. Let them know, hey, I want to be baptized today. I want my name in the book of life. I want to obey him that's true, holy, the one that had the key. We'll baptize you today for the remission of your sins. We're getting ready to sing the song of encouragement, the invitation song. What I want you to do, if you want to call this morning, you want to be baptized, or you want to make a confession, you hit star 5, 5 star on your phone. We'll see you raise your hand. We'll take your confession. We got many listeners on here. Jesus said, he that confessed before me and him will I confess before my Father. We got many listening today. We'll get you to the Church of Christ close to you. If you're in the Houston area, we'll get you to Hollow Heights. We'll get you to one. They'll baptize you this morning. You can be added to the Lord's church in New Jerusalem. So with that being said, to members of the church, you want to make confession, you want to make a confession that you've sinned, we want you to be able to do that. We ask Brother Robert Smith to come online at this time. We're going to take a confession to be baptized or a confession of sin at this time. We're going to ask Brother Robert, and we'll take those confessions only. There are too many for prayer requests. We ask you to send your prayer requests. Email us or text us, and I got some here, and we'll make sure we put you on our prayer list. But this invitation is for those who want to be members of the Church of Christ, want to make that noble confession. If I star on your phone, we'll see you raise your hand. Those who need to make confession because you're a member of the church, you want to just confess your fault. We're going to do this after the invitation. So, Brother Robert.